From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. In southern Yemen, authorities say a car bomb outside a presidential compound has killed at least 21 people. Just hours before this apparent suicide bombing, a new president had been inaugurated, pledging to fight al-Qaeda. In Afghanistan, at least three people have been killed, dozens more wounded, in the fifth straight day of protests against the burning of copies of the Quran at a U.S. base. As NPR's Ahmad Shafi tells us, Afghan security forces are on high alert.
Despite an apology from President Obama and calls for restraint from Hamid Karzai, hundreds of protesters took to the streets for a fifth day. In the northern province of Kunduz, officials say the police opened fire after some armed protesters tried to storm a United Nations office. There were also protests in the south and eastern Afghanistan. Local hospital officials say several people have been injured. Friday was the deadliest day of demonstrations. At least 12 people were killed across the country as protesters attacked the Afghan government offices, NATO bases, and foreign diplomatic missions. Ahmad Shafi, NPR News, Kabul.
A group of Arab doctors are demanding that Syrian officials let them inside the country or allow the injured to leave. Dale Gavlak reports on a sit-in at the border between Jordan and Syria.
Mohammed El-Khawaldi of the Arab Doctors Union says Syrian authorities refused their third request for the group of Jordanian, Egyptian, Tunisian, and Gulf Arab physicians to pass through the border.
Now the border is completely closed. No medicine, no injection, no antibiotics, no blood, no anything. And we see now our neighbors, they need everything.
El-Khawaldi said his group is in constant contact with Syrian doctors, who he said are at their wits' end crying for support due to the overwhelming numbers of injured, the lack of supplies, and inability to reach them in cities under siege. For NPR News, I'm Dale Gavlak at the Jabir border crossing in northern Jordan.
President Obama's weekly address this weekend focuses on rising fuel prices.
Some folks have no choice but to drive a long way to work, and high gas prices are like a tax straight out of their paychecks.
The president says there are no easy answers, but conservation and innovation will help. Small banks in Georgia and Minnesota have been closed by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, Home Savings of America, based in Little Falls, Minnesota, and Central Bank of Georgia, based in Ellaville, were shuttered late yesterday. Amerus Bank of Moultrie will assume Central Bank's deposits, but in Minnesota, the FDIC couldn't find another lender to take over Home Savings deposits. As a result, it will mail out checks to depositors. This is NPR News. Nelson Mandela has been taken to the hospital with an abdominal complaint. NPR's Ophabia Quist-Arkton reports officials say doctors feel the former South African president needs specialist care.
93-year-old Nelson Mandela has been suffering from poor health in recent years. Officials report that his doctors say a long-standing abdominal complaint needs proper medical care. A statement from South African President Jacob Zuma's office says the love and good wishes of the nation and the world are with Mandela, and he's asked for him and his family to be given privacy. The veteran South African anti-apartheid hero and Nobel Peace Laureate spent 27 years in jail in the fight against apartheid before his release in 1990. Mandela became South Africa's first post-apartheid leader in 1994 and officially retired from public life 8 years ago. Ophabia Quist-Arkton, NPR News, Dakar.
Two senior U.S. senators, a Democrat and a Republican, visited Cuba this week to discuss the case of imprisoned American Alan Gross. Senator Patrick Leahy and Senator Richard Shelby visited Gross at a Havana military prison and met with Cuban President Raul Castro. State Department spokesman Mark Toner says there are hopes the visit might make a difference.
We're certainly, as we've said many times, going to use every opportunity and every appropriate channel that we have to press the Cuban government for Mr. Gross's release.
Gross was in Cuba on a USAID democracy-building program when he was arrested for bringing satellite and other communications equipment onto the island. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.